couple get married, and the beauty and the joy of the wedding day is all around them. The bride is stunning. The groom looks like the happiest man in the world. But 2 or 3 years down the road, we see a slightly different scene. We see the young wife sitting at her mother's kitchen table sobbing. It's over. The marriage that started amidst such happiness has shattered. What has happened? 2 words, she says. He's changed. He's changed. And when we start the Christian life, similarly, we can start out amidst a blaze of joy and happiness, and we feel that we'll never look back. And the first few months flash by, and we see growth, and we see improvement, and then things start to slow down. And then difficulties come. Maybe sickness, might be discouragement, might be a lack of growth in the church. It could be marriage difficulties. It could be temptation. It might be conflict with someone in the church or with a family member. But something happens, and God seems distant to us. It appears that he has abandoned us. And we find ourselves thinking blasphemous thoughts. Why is God doing this to me? Does he not care? He mustn't care. Or he mustn't be good. Or he mustn't be powerful enough. And like the young wife, whose marriage has hit the rocks, we feel he's changed. But James has a word for us. Verse 17, your God does not change. And he tells these young Christians this to comfort them and to encourage them and to challenge them. And this morning that's what we're looking at. Your God does not change. And I want to show you this from Scripture first of all. Then I want to explain what it means. And then I want to show you how this truth applies to our lives. Because it is a practical truth. It's not some airy-fairy piece of theology. It's something that James tells these believers because they're facing troubles. He says, here's what you need to know. So here's something we need to know. Let's look first of all at the proof. Your God does not change. We find it stated clearly many times in Scripture. In Numbers 23:19, we read, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Psalm 102 that we were singing earlier, verse 27. You remain the same, O Lord. Malachi 3:6. God himself is speaking. I, the Lord, do not change. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Wonderful verse. Same truth, but it seems to be more personal. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And the verse we have here in front of us in James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And throughout Scripture, from beginning to end, everything is based on the fact that God doesn't change. All the other gods of the ancient world did change. They thought one thing one day and something else the next. They demanded one thing one day and something different the next. You couldn't depend on them. And this is the thinking of the people of the day. But the God of Scripture is different. He's not like a shifting shadow. And that word James not only illustrates how the gods change, but in the thinking of the people, but he demonstrates that they're not real. They're only shadows. These false gods that people worship, says they're not real. They're just like a shadow. But our God isn't a shadow, nor does he shift and change and move about. Our God does not change. That makes perfect sense. Last week we thought about how he is God from one end of eternity to the other. He's the same the whole way through. He's always God, always has been, and always will be. Your God does not change. But some of you might have a question. There are passages in the Bible that seem to speak about God changing his mind. Does that mean he does change? We need to know that. Because God, if he does change his mind, might change his mind about us. And we need to know if he is a God who changes or if he is a God who doesn't change. In Exodus 32, God says, I'm going to destroy the children of Israel. And then we read that God relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Or we read in Jonah that God promised, or God threatened, to destroy the city of Nineveh. And then we read, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring on them the destruction it threatened. Is God changing his mind? Well, no, he's not. It's the people who have changed and not God. Children of Israel sought God's, Nineveh sought God's forgiveness. And God was merciful. You see, at any one time, all of God's attributes are being displayed. His greatness, his goodness, his love, his mercy, his holiness, his justice, his righteousness, his wrath. They're all being displayed. And at one time, the people of Nineveh were under God's wrath. And then they repented, and because they were sorry for their sin, that moved them to being under God's love and mercy. God hadn't changed. Still the same. He had no more change than the sun has changed whenever you step out of a shadow into the sunlight. The sun's the same. You're the one that's moved. So as we read these passages, we don't need to be shaken in our belief that God doesn't change. He's always the same. Time and time again in Scripture, we meet phrases that confirm for us the changelessness of our God. It's the foundation that everything's built on. We read last week of the number of times that God's covenant is described as everlasting. It doesn't change. We should be thankful of that. He's promised to save people. And that will never change. God will not change. That's a message that everyone needs. Because everyone lives in a world that changes. We have no place to anchor ourselves to in this world except God. And people all around us are chasing shadows, and their gods are like the gods that James speaks of. They're like shadows, shifting shadows, and they chase happiness. What happens when you chase happiness? You find that you're not happy. You chase riches and you get all these riches and you find that you want more. It's like a shadow. You try to reach for it and it's gone. It moves again. Their gods change and they let them down. Robbie Williams giving an interview on television last Saturday, and he spoke about how he wanted to find, or he thought when he would find something, he would achieve peace. Whenever he would get to a certain stage, he would be happy. And he says, I'm there now, but I'm not happy. I have no peace. The thing that he had thought of as his goal, his ambition, the God of his life, when he got there, it had moved. He couldn't rely on it. Our God is not like a shifting shadow. He does not change. Our God is a refuge and strength, a place of shelter in a life of change. But what does it mean? Well, it comes secondly, having seen this truth throughout Scripture, to ask, what does it mean? I want to come to the explanation. We've seen the proof, now the explanation of it. When James says to his readers, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows, he doesn't explain it any further. We're not told what he means. He expects us to use our own minds to think for ourselves, to dig through our Bibles and to find out. So that's what we're going to have to do. But let me say first of all what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that God is like a big lump of concrete who doesn't care, who's unmoved and unconcerned about us. That's not what God is like. Let's see from Scripture what he is like. Four things God's personality does not change. God's personality does not change. He doesn't improve over time. He doesn't mature. He can't get any better because he's already perfect. He can't get any worse because he is perfect. And something that's perfect can't get worse. His character, his personality, his attributes, these things that we're looking at do not change. He can't get more powerful because he's already at maximum power. And he can't lose power. And he can't get any more loving because he's at maximum. And he's not going to become any less loving. He's as powerful today as when he created the world. He's as loving today as when he died on the cross. He's as wise today as when he designed our bodies. He's as merciful as he was when he went to the cross. He's as patient as he was with the disciples and all their faults and failures. He doesn't change. His attributes do not change. His love doesn't change. We're told in Isaiah 54:10, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. His faithfulness doesn't change. Numbers 23:19 we write, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. He's faithful, doesn't change. His mercy doesn't change. There's that great Psalm 136, where every other line says, his mercy endures forever. He doesn't change. We're so used to people changing and letting us down. And one minute they're kind to us, and the next minute there's a bit of spitefulness. One minute they're saying they'll do something, and the next minute they've let us down. People change, but God doesn't. He's no less loving, no less wise, no less good, no less merciful than he was in Bible times. And what you read in Scripture is as true for you as it was for Ruth, for Hannah, for Esther, for Paul, for David, for Isaiah. But every week when I preach about one of these attributes, I want you to say to yourself, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Your God's personality hasn't changed. Secondly, your God's plans do not change. Your God's plans do not change. Plan and a purpose, and nothing can stop it. In Psalm 33:11, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. How often do you have to change your plans? What happens? Something crops up. You have to change. Or you run out of strength or energy or resources and you've got to change your plans. Or we just can't be bothered when we change our plans. God never gets it wrong. God never is never surprised by something that crops up. God never runs out of power or strength. He never has to change his plans. And so the plans he has for the gospel, the plans that it will spread throughout the world, they will never change. The plans he has for your life, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, will never change. Your God's plans do not change. Thirdly, your God's promises do not change. Your God's promises do not change. In Hebrews 6:18, God has just confirmed something with an oath, and the writer to the Hebrews says, God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled and take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. It is impossible for God to lie, and you can be greatly encouraged. His promises aren't lies. You can be encouraged. Because he doesn't change. His promises do not change. They don't have a sell-by date on them. They're not like special offers when you go to the shop and when you're told, sorry, it's out of stock. No, his promises do not change. You open your Bible, and although some of the promises are 6,000 years old, some of them are 4,000 years old, some of them are 3,000 years old, Some of them are 2,000 years old. They haven't changed. They're still as true and as real today. God's personality, his plans and his promises have not changed. But something else hasn't changed. God's punishment does not change. God's punishment does not change. This is the one jarring note, as it were. God's punishment does not change. His promises of salvation are true, then his promises of judgment are true. If his plans to save sinners are true, then his plans to punish those who reject him are true. If his personality never changes, then he's not going to change his opinion on sin. This is his plan, his promise and his decree. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already. These are things that will never change. And it doesn't matter how good a life you live. It doesn't matter how much money you give or raise for charity. It doesn't matter how little harm you do. One thing does not change. The only way to heaven is belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repenting and believing. Because God doesn't change. He won't change the rules for you when you die. He won't bend the rules for you when you stand before him. And you need to be convinced of that if you're not a Christian. At the minute you're hiding behind a few straws, as it were, a straw house of good works, the wind of God's wrath will blow it all away. Don't hide behind the shelter of twigs of human decency, because God has never been impressed with human decency and will never be impressed because it's not decent. Read your Bibles. Ananias gave to the church and was struck dead for his hypocrisy. God doesn't change. Jesus promised hell to Capernaum because that town refused to put into practice what she had been told. She wouldn't repent and believe. God doesn't change. Judas went to hell, even though he knew the truth. All of his working for God and seeking to serve God didn't count. He hadn't believed. He hadn't trusted Jesus. And God does not change. I hope no one here is banking on a vain hope that God will change for you. Oh, the arrogance of that. To think that God will treat you differently from the rest of the world. He will not change for anyone. And friends, those of us who are Christians need to be reminded of this truth as well. Because sometimes in our heart of hearts we can hope against hope that our friends, our neighbours, or our family who are nice and good and decent will somehow get by into heaven. They won't, because God will not change. And this should drive us to our knees in prayer to plead with God for them. Lord, change them, because you're not going to change. God's personality doesn't change. God's plans, God's promises, and even God's punishment do not change. What practical benefit is there in knowing this truth? Two things. There's great comfort in knowing that God does not change. There's great comfort. There's great comfort when we sin. When we fall, when we stumble, when we've done wrong, and Satan comes to us and says, "You're not worthy of God's love. God doesn't love you anymore. You're such a failure." Friend, God doesn't change. He has loved you with an everlasting love. And he still loves you with an everlasting love. And he will always love you with an everlasting love. What comfort there is there. Of course, that doesn't mean you can keep on sinning. If you keep on sinning, you are never truly converted and never loved. But if you are a believer, and you fall, and you come to your Father in heaven, and you wonder with a shaken confidence whether he still wants to know you at all, you can be sure that he doesn't change. His affections haven't cooled off for you. Charles Spurgeon said, "Consider what you owe to his changelessness. Though you have changed 1,000 times, he has not changed once." Here's comfort. There's comfort when we pray. When we come to God to pray, he hasn't changed. What comfort would there be in praying to a God who kept changing? But his promises don't change, and we can take those promises and turn them into prayers. Say, "Lord, you said this, and I know you haven't changed." And we can pray with confidence. What a comfort. And then there's comfort when we lack assurance. God's not going to shift the goalposts. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us. Have you done that? Do you think he's going to change and move the goalposts? No, he won't. What comfort is there? Why would Jesus command his disciples to rejoice that their names were written in the book of life if the next day they could be rubbed out of the book of life? It won't change. It's great comfort when you lack assurance. It's comforting whenever your world around you is changing and you don't know what's happening next. That's what James is saying to these people. Go to God. He doesn't change. Put all your trust in him. He doesn't change. And you wonder, what about whenever illness strikes me? Or what happens if I lose my job? Or what will my children be able to cope in this evil world? Although the world changes, God doesn't. That power and strength that he has is still available to you today to help you in this world. What a comfort. But then there's also a challenge of knowing God doesn't change. There's a challenge in knowing that God doesn't change. Will you trust him? You can trust him, but will you? He's not a shadow. You can lean on him. There's something solid. You know, sometimes it can seem as if we've lost everything. Speaking to someone this week, and that's what they said to me. They said, "Mark, everything in my life has fallen apart. I have nothing left." And then she said, "No, that's not true. I still have God. He's still there." That's true for us. Although the circumstances have changed, God hasn't changed. His goodness to you has not changed. You can know that. His love for you hasn't changed. His wisdom hasn't changed. It's not as if he's had a lapse of concentration and he's lost the plot for your life. No, he hasn't changed. Will you trust him? That's a challenge. Sometimes all we have left is a promise to cling to. Spurgeon tells a story that he heard of a man, a Christian man, who had a servant. And he asked his servant, "Why is it you're so happy? Even though life throws you a lot of problems." The servant said to him, "Well, I trust God's promises. I stand in the promises." And the master, he said, "Well, I stand on God's promises too. I know God's promises." The servant says, "Yes, but master, whenever the winds come and blow, you get blown over. Whenever the winds come," he says, "I get down. And I lie flat on the promise, and I hold on to it for all that it's worth." That's what we need to do. We need to cling tight to the promise with every fibre of our being. To hold on to it, not just to know it in our heads, but to grasp it and to come to God and pray it. "Lord, you promised. You said this. And whatever else happens, I'm going to believe it. Because you don't change." The challenge is there to keep clinging and to keep trusting. There's another challenge. Will you get close to God? Will you get close to him? You know, if you were tied to a rock in a storm, but you were in the end of a rope that was 100 metres long, and that wind was howling, you'd be battered about, swinging to and fro in the wind, getting walloped off the rock. But if you were able to climb up the rope and get close to the top of the rope and get close to the rock, you're not going to swing about as much. And the nearer you are to God, the more stability there will be. Will you get close to him? It means getting his word out and reading it and pleading with him, Lord, speak to me. It means going to him in prayer and pouring out your heart to him and listening to what he's saying, drinking in his word. Day after day after day, staying close, even when you maybe don't feel like it. The nearer you come, the more stability you'll have. And there's another challenge. Will you expect more from your relationship with God? God hasn't changed. And we read of people in the Bible who had a great relationship and their life, and there was passion and there was power. And we say, ah, but times have changed. But God hasn't changed. And yet we're content with just ticking over in our relationship with God. Don't you want to know God the same way that Paul and James and David and Mary and Hannah knew their God? Will you expect more from your relationship with God? And just to finish, I want to give you four words that as you read your Bibles will bring you comfort and challenge. Whenever you have problems in your life and you can't see how they will be overcome, go to your Bible and you'll find there problems similar to your own, and you will see God help people overcome them. Here's the four words I want you to say to yourself. It's the same God. It's the same God. When you read Daniel and you're amazed by the wonders that God does, say to yourself, it's the same God today. Whenever you're discouraged by sinfulness and you wonder if there's any hope for the church, read Acts and say to yourself, it's the same God. Whenever you see Jericho tumbling and Joshua and the people marching around it, say to yourself, it's the same God today. Whenever you wonder, how will you ever get through something? Read of God providing for his people in the desert the manna and the quail, miraculous provision, and say, it's the same God. Whenever you wonder what impact your life can have, you're only one person, amidst all of the people you work with or study with, what impact can I have? Read of the little boy that brought his lunch and what God did with it. 15 to 20,000 people fed. It's the same God. Whenever you wonder, will you have any impact? Go to read of the little slave girl in Naaman's house. Told her master about her God and about a man that could help him. Say to yourself, it's the same God today. Whenever you struggle with a particular sin, go and read of the people at Corinth that were transformed and say to yourself, it's the same God. Whenever you're sick and you wonder how you will cope, turn to Paul in Corinthians, where Paul says to God, how will I cope? And God says, my grace is sufficient. It's the same God. When you feel that someone you love has their heart set against the gospel and you can't see any way of them ever turning to God, read about Paul, the murderer of Christians, who had his heart set against God, and see what God did to him and say to yourself, it's the same God. When you feel discouraged and you can see no way out of a situation you're in, think about David in the cave and there Saul, his enemy, sleeping in front of him. And how can David get out? Saul's going to kill him. Or think of Jonah in the belly of the fish. What hope was there for him then? But God worked, and say to yourself as you read those, it's the same God. When you look at the vast sprawling mass of Letterkenny or Belfast or wherever, you wonder, but all those lost souls, read about Nineveh, say it's the same God. God hasn't changed, nor will he change. He's the same God.